Okay, so while you're checking that, I'll go through the agenda real quick. We're doing the review now. We're going to do introductions and reintroductions, then announcements, talk about current action items, and then work items. And we're going to deal with these a little bit differently than we have in the past to try and keep it a little bit shorter. And then mostly we're going to spend the time talking about 2017 in review, what we did, so we can just catalog our accomplishments, and then we're going to open it up for feedback to get some ideas about what we could do better. And then we'll close up with any new action items, and I know I want to try and get some around hackathon outreach, so that's there in the agenda. So anything else that folks want to get onto the agenda before we continue? Okay, great. Hearing none, then I'm going to push forward. So Kim, next up, yes, Kim.
So I have a list of area codes. Let's see. They are 408-646-312-978 and 678. If any of those sound like your area codes, just let us know.
Mine is the random Skype one. This is Lionel.
Yeah, and mine is 438.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm the 646.
Yeah,
mine is Christian Lumpke.
Yeah. Hey, this is Akila from Consensus. Mine is 408.
This is Mike Hsu from Consensus as well. My area code is 978.
Joe, I'm taking care of this offline. Feel free to forge ahead. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, great. A quick note for those who are calling in the Skype, so this is a tip for you, Lionel. If you're in the chat before you Skype, after you type in the 6306, you can sometimes see the association with you joining, and it'll say whatever has joined the conference. And you can that's how I pick out my number, and then I just do the VoIP association myself. So that's a tip that might help you figure out your own number in the future.
Tip taken. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome. Okay. So introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anyone who's new, who hasn't been on the call before? Nobody's stepping up. Okay.
Any of those consensus people new enough to introduce?
Hey, Kim suggests that I do a reintroduction. This is Nate Otto. I'm lead developer of Badger at Concentric Sky and one of the lead contributors to the Open Badges standard over the years. I've been in this group in the past, and I'm happy to be able to carve time back out of my schedule to be able to participate sort of back at full capacity in 2018.
Excellent. Thank you, Nate. And I do think in a previous week we had a bunch of consensus folks introduced, but are any of you new and want to introduce yourself? Okay. So thanks, Nate. And we will move on to the next item then. So announcements. So we're coming in the holidays. Our next 2 weeks, we are not going to be having meetings, so December 26th and January 2nd, we're skipping. And then in the new year, the first meeting will be the 9th. And we'll be continuing. Actually, we're not going to continue. Well, yeah, that's challenging. So we're going to be talking about our roadmap. What we put in the agenda was continue this reconciliation, but that's not actually what we're going to be doing. And then we are queued up for a virtual hackathon January 15th and 19th. And one of my tasks in our action items here is I would like to get
We need to, I'm sorry,
We need to get whoever is not on mute on mute, because I'm not understanding you. So go on mute if you're not speaking, please. Somebody who sounds like they're in a kitchen.
I hear real clear, Chris. So, okay, everyone on mute, but it's coming in real clear over here.
I was hearing some noise as well, which tells me it might be you, Lionel. But I don't have a better way to
I'm
check
on
that
mute.
Theory.
No, it was someone going up and downstairs and closing doors and making coffee.
Right. Okay, so I'll come back to the virtual hackathon. The cue for that will be, I really would like to get some people on the hook to figure out how we might engage more technology partners to contribute. So that's you, Manu, and maybe the consensus folks, et cetera. So we'll come back around to that. Okay, next up, action items, and then we're going to do work items. And we're doing these a little bit differently. The last time I ran the meeting, I went through each of these, and it just took too long. So since many of these action items, aren't due yet, right, due January or January 15th, end of January, I just want to focus on which are the ones that have had progress and we should talk about. So speak up if you've got an action item that you want to report in on.
Hey, I put myself on the queue, Joe. Don't know if you see that.
I did not see that. Thank you.
So registries, I think we should make a decision on that. There was a proposal that went out to the mailing list. No objections. There was support on the call last time. I think we should make that call and adopt the registry process and the three registries. I know that there's some clarification that needs to be done there. I'm looking down the list for anything else. There is an update to object capabilities, but I'll let Chris Weber do that. I think he put himself on the queue for that. And that's it.
Great. Thanks, Vanna. Okay, Chris, I think you're up. Is that right? Thanks, Manu.
So, about the object capability stuff. So the object capabilities document is, I think, in pretty good early shape, as in, like, the core things that need to be there are there. There's a few kind of tweaks that I've been talking with Dave and Manu about that I think we're just going to make the language, but I think the fundamentals I still think are pretty good. I guess the question would be, we had talked about, once we got the document to the state, that the group would review it and see about taking it on as official work. So I wonder whether or not we're at that stage where we want to vote on that.
Okay, that's a good question. So I think we had already adopted this as a work item, I'm looking for clarification from my co-chairs, or Manu, if you recall.
I don't believe that it's been accepted as a work item. I mean, we haven't yet had a formal presentation except at TPAC on it. So, I would presume we should schedule a meeting in January to have that presented, and then we basically say, are there, objections to this being a work item led by Chris Weber, and go from there.
Okay, that sounds good. So, Chris is at work, so we'll give you some time in January to present it as a work item, and then we'll go through that process to get it formally approved.
Sounds great.
Okay, and then for the registry's work item, to get closure on that, Manu, Kim, you had framed up an email conversation that looked like we were hoping to actually get that formally approved today. Is that right?
That's right. Drummond had some questions. I'm not sure if he's on the call today, Drummond. Let's see. So it was effectively, let's see. Okay, so he had remembered about the DID methods registry, but the other two specific registries he wanted to hear more about, but he's not on the call. So...
Wait a minute. I'm on the call.
Welcome, Drummond. Go ahead if
no,
you want to engage with that.
So, Ken, would you mind giving a summary of the non-VID method registries?
The DID method registry.
There are three specific registries.
The other two.
Yeah, it was not that one. I totally get that one. It was wanting to understand the other two, and just because they didn't, the names that appeared there.
Right.
I mean, I read the proposal, but I was like, so can you just give us an explanation of the other two?
Yes. Okay, so the linked data key types registry is the basically the registry that we need to have to kind of resolve some of the stuff in the DID hardening spec. It's how do we express key types, or based on the last discussion we had, it's more like what is it, a key suite or a crypto suite, whatever we end up calling that thing. That's the linked data key types registry. To be able to point to the different specs that enable us to express cryptography suites / key suites. So that's one of the registries. The credential status method registry is the one that we said we needed to create at W3C TPAC. So it came out of the revocation list discussion. A couple of people pushed back and said, no, like this has to do with more than just revocation. Let's talk about status instead, where revocation is one type of status a credential can have. And so that mechanism is how to express the different type of status methods you could have associated with a credential. The two that we have identified so far is just a list of credential status items posted somewhere on the web, like you have 10,000 status entries or whatever, 100, 1,000, 10,000, whatever that is. And then the other status method is a blockchain-based status method, which no one has really proposed yet. But that's the high-level kind of explanation of those two registries. Also, someone's eating or something, not on mute.
Okay, Drummond, did that answer your question?
I put myself on the queue just to because it does. What's fascinating though is I don't know who else might have had the same reaction when I see the term linked data key types. I thought, oh, those are the specific kinds of keys that are needed for linked data. And what about all the other types of keys? And I now understand. I don't think that's what Manu meant at all. You know, he's talking about any kind of key that might be. I'm a little concerned about calling the registry linked data key types because I think others might have that same confusion. Oh, those are only keys for linked data. I'm not working with linked data, so I don't need, you know, it doesn't apply to me. I'm open to, it's a naming thing. I mean, I am the world's number one component of a registry for what the Harding proposal calls key description specifications. And so if that's the register we're talking about, yes, I'm all in favor of it. I just think we need to be careful about what we call it to make sure that people don't misunderstand what kinds of keys it might have, because I'm hoping it's all kinds of keys. And I hope they're all useful for linked data, but also useful for anything else that folks might need cryptographic key material for.
Cool. Go ahead, Manu.
Right. So, yep, good points, Drummond. Two kind of pieces of information to go along with that. Because the registries are kind of unofficial and this community group's handling them, we can change the name of the registry at any point. So we're not, I don't think we're committing to that being the name of the registry. I think we're committing to the purpose of the registry, which is aligned with what you were saying. Clearly, we want to make sure that the messaging is right from day one. So if we need to change the name of the registry sooner than later, we should definitely do that, like someone suggest a name and do that. The second point had to do with your, well, these are really about key descriptions. We have to be very careful about that because we tried that before and there was open hostility towards that from the kind of Jose JWK community because they do key descriptions as well. And if we say we do key descriptions, we are creating kind of this conflict between ITF W3C or even a community group. Specifically, you know, the mechanism that we're using in a lot of places here is linked data, and these keys are usable in the kind of linked data signature stuff, which is why we call them linked data keys. If we want to generalize it outside of linked data, that's a bit of a bigger problem. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about it, but we also need a different set of specs to go along with that. So if we're saying these key descriptions don't have to do just with linked data, they have to do with broader things, then we have to start talking about JWK and Jose and that entire stack. And if what we're talking about is key descriptions that can be used outside of linked data signatures and Jose JWK, then it sounds like we have a new class of kind of crypto suites that we're suggesting. So all that to just basically point out that there's concern about generalizing too far. We may make some people may make some people angry.
Okay, so I'm gonna pull this back in as the moderator here. So we got into the weeds, which is to a certain extent good, about the content of the work item. But I want to table that so that I want to figure out if we can today officially approve that these are the four work items that we want to adopt as a group. So Drummond, if you have a reason we shouldn't do that and that's what you want to speak to, I'm welcome to give you the cue. But if we were going to talk more about the back and forth around what should be in that particular work item, then let's hold that so we can actually do the work of the work item.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I, as long as we are open to deciding what is the long-term name of that registry, I'm fine with it. And we said there were four work items. The registry is just one of those four. Is that right?
That's right. So the four work items that were proposed together in the linked proposal that Manu had put together. One was a process definition for how we maintain registries, and then we had three registries that were specifically proposed as work items. And so all of those need further definition, including the names, and I think this was a good conversation about, yes, there's agreement, I hear agreement between Drummond, you and Manu about, I understand this work, let's do this work, we just need to name it differently. So, unless someone wants to scream at me about it, I think I want to just see if there are any objections to adopting those four work items as work items of the Credentials Community Group. So I think that's an explicit proposal. So go ahead and give me some plus ones on the IRC. And then I'll ask, someone's chomping pretty good. Manu, do we need to let this hang out with the email list, or have we had enough time with the email list for people to voice objections?
I mean, I'd suggest that we've had enough time. It's been out there for like 3 weeks, and no one's really objecting. So,
okay, that's my take too. Kim or Chris, do you have any objections to just doing it?
No, I don't have any objections.
And then
we need the noise. We need the bread spreading status check. Somebody's making a lot of noise.
Chewing. These. Granola.
It's
or
really,
cereal.
It's a really regular chomp. okay. So, okay,
yeah,
we've got Drummond and Kim up to you.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Drummond.
I think
no,
Drummond
I should have been done with the queue.
I was
done.
Okay, that's like that. For me, I just joined the queue to say exactly the same thing, that the only concern was over what we call it. So we can approve it and follow up later, which we're all voting on.
Okay, great. So seeing no objections and lots of plus ones, so I'm going to call it that we have officially approved these four work items. And so I think we have repos. I don't know if we have repos for all four of them, Manu, but that's, I think, the next step. And then we should update our web page if we haven't already.
Okay. I can take an action to do that.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So work items we've already talked about. We spent a lot of time on registries already, which is fine. This, again, we're going to do the, you know, speak up if you have something to talk about. We're going to continue the DIDs really in the next year, but do Drummond or Manu, do you guys want to give it one to 2 minutes on what's going on with the hardening conversation?
Drummond, please go. I'm cleaning up minutes.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So it is proceeding. It's the classic carrying the water. We're having calls once a week on Thursdays. We're going to have one more before the holiday break this coming Thursday, 10 a.m. And I just posted, we had a really good, the 90-minute calls. We had a really good discussion, almost the whole 90 minutes, on key management and the different, from the overall worldviews down to specifics. Mandy sent a very helpful email about, the two, sort of three options for how you structure them in the graph and three options for how you describe key material. And, again, a great discussion. I just posted last night a new Google Doc for to try and help drive the discussion forward that asks each of the folks that have, strong views on this to describe their full proposal for structuring and describing keys so that we can, as we put it, find the intersection between the worldviews. And I'm pretty hopeful that if everyone that's able to come to that call on Thursday is able to enter their descriptions, the document's got it all templated out, so it shouldn't take more than maybe 10 minutes. We can use that then and this next Thursday's call and hopefully identify that intersection and be on the path to consensus on that. We still have a couple other issues that the hardening proposal has raised, but I'm feeling good that we can, assuming we're going to have to resume the special calls in January, but we can get it done here relatively soon. So that's my update. Manu, anything to add to that?
Nope, that was great.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Anyone else who's working on a work item that has something to share? Okay. A quick note then, we did highlight data minimization and selective disclosure. Lionel, let's check in offline about how that's going. If you don't have anything that you want to bubble up here.
Can you hear me okay?
Now we can. We did not at first.
Yeah, that sounds great, Joe. So let's do that. Holiday blackout of the committee work. Are you taking that blackout too, or do you have some time?
I have some time. So let's pick a time on email, and we'll have a conversation about what we're doing and how we can support you with that.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Cool. So let's. Do I record an action in here? Say action, Joe and Lionel.
Yep.
Chat.
That's how you do it.
Okay. Okay. So we're actually doing reasonably well on time. I think we're only 5 minutes behind. So thank you all for the new brief way to check in on action items and work items. We're probably going to keep to that in the future. So don't be shy when we ask you to speak up, because we just want to keep things moving. And we really don't have time to go through, you know, 8 action items and 8 work items, and we're getting even, I think we now have 10 work items there. So that'll be the future approach. So, you know, don't be shy. Okay, so I want to talk about 2017 in review. So when I was invited to come on as chair, and I said, yeah, that sounds fun, and you looks like most people voted for me. I didn't see any minus ones. So that was great. I wanted to bring some thought about process. And so we started working on what Drummond, in his email, called the roadmap. And I think that's the goodest term of any, which is just to try and get a more concrete picture of what we want to do moving in the longer-term future, so that our weekly calls can be more focused and we can know what we're doing when and whether or not we're making progress according to plan. In that, and we were going to present a version of the roadmap today, and then we realized, hey, you know, we really should look at what did we do in 2017 and how can we improve it. So I just want to take a few minutes. I don't think we need 15 here, but we'll see, because I want to open it up to things we may have missed, and just highlight what did we do in 2017. So one thing we don't know, Manu, and I'm hoping you or maybe Liam will have some. I'm curious what our numbers are with regard to members and corporations, and if those are any different. I guess participants, I don't even know what the right stats are for that. But you want to go ahead and talk to that, Manu?
Yes. So we can always check in on our numbers here. So this is the community groups, CCG's numbers. And I do glance at them from time to time, but we kind of we flattened out this year, so not many new members coming in. I think we're doing really well on engagement, so I think, you know, this is one of the more engaged communities out of the 1,000-plus communities that W3C has. So that's good, but you always want to kind of refill the ranks, and we haven't necessarily been doing a great job at recruiting new folks into the group. And that may be because we've hit capacity, meaning like there are only so many people in the world that are driven to participate in standards making around this stuff, or it could mean that we've kind of exhausted the communities that we're involved in and we need to start reaching out to new communities. So, for example, picking a near-term example, the fact that we have a larger number of people from Consensus participating now is great, and that's exactly the type of activity that we'd hope to see, you know, at least one new example of that every month to 2 months, especially if folks are, contributing to the discussion or the specification. So, this year I think we flattened out a bit, and hope we can improve it next year. The same thing with the Verifiable Claims Working Group. The working group's active, but we haven't really picked up any new people, we've picked up a few, but not enough to at least make me feel good about how we're doing there. So it's not bad. I think we can do better. And so maybe the question for next year is, what new venues should we be going to kind of evangelize the stuff that we're working on and pull people in from there? So ideas around that, I think, would be good for at least the group to, you know, spend a little bit of time on, not today, but potentially at a future call.
Okay, perfect. So thank you for that. And on the other side of that link, we have 123 non-chair participants. This was a pretty big year because we transitioned from, I think, two other community groups as the VCCF became the Verifiable Claims Working Group. And so we have new chairs, we have a revised mission. And so that's a big transition, a big change. And I feel like we landed with pretty good pace with the new leadership. So not to pat my own back, but I'm feeling pretty good about that, especially because most of that transition was managed before I even got involved. So kudos to Chris and Kim for that effort. We have the formal adoption of the DID draft specification as a work item. I think that's one of the highlights of the work on our table, and our investment and progress with it shows that investment. So we've also, we weren't quite sure how to talk about this. We have a number of DID methods that have come about because of our work. We are not creating these methods, because they were created by a third party. So I wasn't quite sure how to claim, neither of the chairs were really quite sure the right language to talk about the success of this. But we do have six that I know of. And I think this was in your draft registry, Manu. The BTCR, which is the Bitcoin. We have the Ethereum, the IPFS, IPID, something from Sovereign, the DID Sovereign, UPort, which is also Ethereum. I guess I'm not sure what the difference is between the CNSNT and the UPort. And then we also have the VerisMed. And these are in process or proposed. So, you know, they're not final or published, but I think that's pretty amazing progress and worth taking some pats on the back around. We also have a credential handler API and browser polyfill that was presented at TPAC. I'm not quite sure what the new, I guess, did we add this 2017 signature suite? Someone wants to comment on what we did with the credential handler real quick?
Sorry, I was involved in this other discussion. Can you repeat that?
So one of the things that we as a group did was this credential handler API, and I know you were significantly involved in that. And the sub-bullet point was this 2017 RSA signature suite. So I want to give you an opportunity just to explain what did we do there and
sure.
What does that mean?
Sure. So using lessons learned from the web payments, payment request and payment handler APIs, we built out a credential handler API that allows people to share credentials on the web. And this was particularly important that we were able to build this out using technology that web browsers are already implementing. And so that gives us a good chance of getting it into the browser in the future. We were able to build the polyfill and able to demonstrate how you could pass credentials around on the web. And related to that is the RSA Signature Suite, which was another success because the RSA Signature Suite was a unification of linked data signatures and JWS, which is the Jose stack. We had some conflict with the Jose group where they were very interested in seeing us adopt their technology, and we had a number of issues with the Jose approach, but we were able to reconcile those with the RSA Signature Suite, which effectively combines the best features that we get with the linked data signature suites with a Jose compatible signature. So those were two successes from this year.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave. And I think those are that might be the best example of, you know, running code that was from, you know, this community. So in addition to the method spec work, thank you for that contribution. Okay, so The next line item here is other work items, and I'm really queuing that up for folks to, I'll come back to it, but put yourself on the queue if there's something we've missed that you would like to remind the group about or share with the group that is something that came out of our work here together. We also had several face-to-face meetings. We had one at TPAC that lasted a couple days. We had a meeting. We had, I guess, in the last year, we had informal meetings at IAW, and that a lot of us were there, and we talked about a lot of these topics, whether it was DIDS or what have you. And then similarly, we had a whole room pretty much set aside at Reboot and Web of Trust that we ended up calling DIDland. So a lot of the DID spec early work was done there, and that was a great face-to-face for a lot of us in this community. Feel free to jump on the queue if there are other face-to-face meetings that deserve some recognition here. And then we also did some offline efforts, meaning they weren't on this regular call. And one was the DID Hardening conference calls, which are continuing. And then there's the work item for the lifecycle engagement model that I've been working on, which has come to be known as Amira, is also, it's not quite yet under the umbrella of the CCG, but we're moving it towards that. So, I consider that, you know, as a community group is to the working groups, I think Amira is, you know, one of those incoming channels to get work into our conversation. So let's see who, if anyone's on the queue, if you want to share anything else that we did about 2017, we're going to go to feedback in a couple minutes. But at this point, did I miss anything? Or is there other cool stuff that we did as a community in 2017? All right, Manu, you're on.
Oh, sorry. I think I'm on the queue for 2017 feedback. I want to just raise the issue. I mean, I think I've been really impressed with what this community has been able to do in the last year. I don't think any of us, in the community the previous year thought that we'd get as far as we did in 2017. So, yay, thank you to everybody for, rolling up your sleeves and getting involved and getting all this stuff done. To say that we'd have like 6 DID methods at this point, I would not have been able to predict that last year. So that's great. But with a ton of success, right, comes a number of people. Success has many parents. So we're seeing a number of ICOs kind of launching, saying that they are DID compatible or self-sovereign. And you go and you really dig into what they're doing, and it's anything but. It's a proprietary play. It's a closed environment, closed network. It's not decentralized. So there are a number of we need to kind of, as a community, figure out how to deal with that, because you could say that, oh, those organizations are going to kind of fail on their own. They've got the wrong fundamentals. But what it does is it kind of damages our ability to evangelize. If someone has a bad experience with those organizations, there's a bad ICO, then all of a sudden, this community is blamed for it. So we need to, I like Nate's hashtag, openwashing hashtag, we need to figure out how to deal with that. I mean, some of it could be very innocent, where we reach out to them and say, hey, by the way, you're using this term and it actually means a bunch of stuff, and we looked at what you're doing and there's a disconnect, please come into the community and participate. So anyway, all that to say that the community's done a tremendous number of things this year. We're seeing, initial success, at least in adoption. But with that comes a number of new challenges that we need to address in the next year.
Cool. Thanks, Lana.
Add me to the queue, Joe, before you go on to feedback. Slide.
Sure. And then you're up, Chris.
Yeah, I just wanted, was very appreciative of the BTCR hackathon that happened in August, where we actually, implemented, a variety of different things. We did a DID, a DID method. We tried to define some some things specific to the BTCR method and the implications thereof, and then we actually issued some verifiable claims, within that method, and discovered a number of interesting challenges that just writing specs did not emerge, and then we fed that back into the community. So I feel like we need more of that. We need our code informing and code by multiple people, because it wasn't just that. I think if Kim and I had just done one thing, it wouldn't have been as powerful as Ryan trying to do a different one in some other language, and we had somebody doing one in Python, and had somebody in Italy doing a version, and it was the fact that we were all trying to make it work that emerged these challenges. So I think it's one of the strengths of the IETF that it's working code and specifications to support them sometimes. My segueing into feedback is we need more working code and more trying out different things. That's it.
Cool. Thanks, Chris. I think I might be next. Yeah, okay. So I just wanted to, in the flow of the queue, say, yes, Dave Longley, we need something about listing other sources. I know for the VCWG, there's actually the role for that is in a use case document. We don't have a use case document for DID, so I'm going to, I guess there's an action for the chairs, if someone can memorialize that, just to figure out how we might approach that and whether or not we need a use case document. I think that might be a question mark in our roadmap conversation already, but I just want to acknowledge that, Dave. Thanks for pointing that out or suggesting that. And then Lionel, you're up next.
Okay. Just two things I didn't hear mentioned. One, Manu mentioned bringing in new people. I thought it was pretty impressive how when journalism got wind of what we were doing, I thought the community was very flexible and quick to involve them around what I think is being called today decoy news and was called fake news or whatever. So I thought that was a success. And let's hope we can nurture that going forward. And then the work stream that I was part of, I wish, as you've already heard, I'm going to have a meeting with Joe to bring it to its conclusion, but I think we've been shepherding the streams of selective disclosure and progressive trust pretty well. I think this is the place where those concepts are really clarified, and I maybe understand now why whenever we try to make sub working groups on this stuff, it goes a little slow because the guys in the field are kind of busy. But this is a good opportunity. We got some good steam around it for a while, particularly with sovereigns, cryptographic engineers. So I think that was also a modest success.
Great. Thank you, Lionel. Marcus, I believe you're next.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I also appreciate how the several DAD methods now and the effort to write those specs and build the different methods as a modular and abstract layer, right, for PID is a building block. There's a basic building block for self-sovereign identity. A lot of the people and a lot of the projects I talk to, they really like that part. They say we want to use this, but we don't want to limit ourselves to one specific ledger. So then it's nice to be able to say there are these different ledgers and different DID methods that people can build on. And I'm looking forward next year to continue contribute to code and implementation like we've done with the resolver and registration and whatever else we need on the code level. I'm looking forward to the hackathons and the conferences and opportunities to contribute.
Okay, great. Thanks, Marcus. Adrian, you're up.
For me, the highlight of 2017 was the realization at the last rebooting Web of Trust of how much alignment there is between the work that's been done on UMA, user-managed
authorization or user managed access and the DID and credentials work that we're involved with here in W3C. And so I'm doubling down on trying to extend that into 2018 with various conversations, but I think that that was the highlight for me.
Cool. Thank you, Adrian. Okay, so no one else is on the queue, so let me move on to the next section, which is asking for feedback. So we did some things well. Some things could be improved, and I'm curious about both. I want to start with Drummond, who responded to the list, who liked the did hardening spec as a separate effort, and I was surprised how well that works. And we're also essentially doing something similar with Amira, so that's great. Drummond suggested that we figure out screen sharing, and as a co-chair, I'd like to escalate that in our co-chair conversation about complications or possibilities of supporting that. So thank you for that suggestion. And then he also mentioned let's get a roadmap, and so that's, you know, already sort of ongoing as an effort, and we'll be presenting that in our first meeting in January. Drummond, did you want to touch on anything else of that?
We'll open it to you.
The queue.
So you covered those things. Can you hear me, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, I I'm quite enthusiastic about where we are. And those, I was like, at first I was like, no, I don't have anything to suggest. And I thought, well, actually a couple things I think are working well. And so all of those things, you know, it's just, I think the more work we have and the faster we want it to go, the more efficient we need to be about doing it. I particularly think there are a lot of folks that I'd like to start pointing at the CCG. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to point them at a roadmap document so they get a quick sense of, oh, this is where this is going, and should I engage? And I do think I love the idea let's constantly get new blood on this. I think the growth of self-sovereign identity is going to lead. I mean, I know I'm dealing with it every day with Sovereign, and I'd like to be able to have one place, one roadmap doc that I can point people to, and it should, of course, have a link to, all right, you want to get interested in this roadmap, you want to get engaged, here's how you do it, and that way it's just a nice open door for folks. That's all.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jerman. Anyone else have feedback? Manu, you gave some feedback earlier. Anyone else want to chime in? And also some other folks, weave feedback into your commentary about the accomplishments of the year.
Yeah, I can give some feedback. I think
great.
It's really, I want to, you know, thank Christopher, who kind of, I feel, kicked off a lot of this with the Rebooting Web of Trust conferences. So I feel like that was those workshops are pretty rare in that, you know, people actually sit down and roll up their sleeves and get a lot of stuff done. And I think, you know, we are where we are in terms of the DID spec and the, you know, the broad interests we're seeing about the DIDs and the whole, you know, self-sovereign identity space. I think is you know, a lot of credit goes to those conferences. So yeah, so I like to thank Christopher for that and for, you know, everyone else for kind of running with it and bringing it to the W3C and like I feel like it was it was a nice confluence that the Rebooting Web Trust conference and Manu's work in the W3C kind of now are blended together and are moving in the same direction. So I think that's really nice.
Great, thank you. Okay, so I have some feedback. I was going to put this in the co-chairs conference call on Friday, but I'll share it here, and maybe there can be some feedback. It might be useful. I know, Chris, you've brought in some heavy hitters with regard to crypto, namely Jan, I believe it's Kamenish, and that you'd like to bring in some more folks. And we also had some great success bringing in journalists when we focused the conversation on that. So I'm wondering if it might be appropriate, I feel more strongly that it might be with crypto, to have maybe the first Tuesday of the month be Crypto Tuesday for us, and so that we can invite crypto experts and say, hey, every first Tuesday is when we are going to be focusing on cryptographic aspects of our work, so if you can make that a regular thing, that would be great. So that's my feedback and suggestion, and that's it. Oh, sorry, just to clarify, Heather, so those might be two meetings. So it might be Crypto Tuesday and another journalistic Tuesday. And that's sort of a way to maybe not have a flurry of task force, but also to focus some attention so people can participate. Yes, Heather, you are on the queue. In fact, I don't think anyone else is on the queue, so why don't you go ahead, Heather?
Hey, thanks. Sorry, sometimes I forget all the commands when I'm still drinking my coffee. Okay, I love hearing all of the feedback that of all the positive things that have happened, and especially the connection with kind of taking the work that's being done here and at Rebooting Web of Trust is kind of like all behind the scenes stuff and making it more visible to, you know, the rest of the world, either other folks that can be part of this or use the technology or even just educate. And so, I'm kind of doing some work with Christopher with Rebooting Web of Trust, and I see a similar opportunity in amplifying the information that's happening here to like this audience that you're talking about, Joe. And I'm wondering if there's an opportunity for some kind of materials, not like I want to, you know, we're all so busy, not like I want to sign us up for more work, but, you know, one of the things I do is, like, I'm a translator from complex things into, like, normal people. So I can really see a way that I could help contribute to this community by helping bring some of the more esoteric technical understandings or discussions or questions or philosophical discussions to a more, non-technical, maybe even consumer-like audience. And I really like that idea. I guess I wonder if, so Joe, I did misunderstand you. I thought, oh my God, we don't want to like derail all the work that's happening by having a bunch of journalist questions, but I think it could be interesting to have a space for people to ask questions, but you know, depending on like the answers have to be at the level of understanding for them. And I don't mean like people can't understand the technology, but like not going way down the rabbit hole, like, you know, speaking like external facing non-technologists. That makes sense.
Yeah, totally. So let's talk about that a little bit more offline, actually, Heather, and I'll, so we can propose something to the group. We're running out of time, or I dive into it now. So thank you for that. Anyone else before I go to action items? Okay.
Just
Joe,
you could broaden Crypto Tuesdays and Journalist Thursdays, which I love. Just broaden it to having themes, you know, picking a theme and carving out the dates and then bringing subject matter experts in.
So not necessarily regularly, but just, okay, this particular meeting is going to be themed. And yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's just broadening your idea, which I loved.
Okay, thank you, Lionel. Okay, I'm not seeing anyone else on the queue. Chris, do you want to talk about this 90-minute meeting suggestion?
Yeah, I mean, just real briefly, there's a lot of research around meetings and lengths of meetings and productivity of meetings that demonstrates that 90 minutes is a better amount of time. Just has to do with, sort of mental cycles and energy levels. And it even applies to things like doctor visits and massages and other stuff. So we always seem to pump up, hard against the deadline. The 90-minute one that happened for the hardening discussion last week, I felt like had a much more natural ending. So one of the things we might want to consider is, can people afford to do another half hour, or is that just too much to ask for? That's it.
Indeed. Right. Okay. So let's, I think we should put that in front of the group as an item in January. Okay. So let me real quickly to action items. We do need to wrap up. Is there a way to get this thing to tell me what actions there are?
Nope. That button doesn't exist yet.
So the actions will show up in the minutes. A section for action items, right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, then let me solicit new action items. The specific thing I want some action items is I'd love to get some names for bringing folks into the hackathon. And by folks, I really mean technology providers who can help say, okay, I'd like to see some work done on this spec or this platform, or let's play around with, the IPFS did, or let's play around with the Sovereign did, or the Consensus did, or whatever. So is there anyone here who could take on bringing in one of those groups as a participant, or at least explore it and talk to the right people in those organizations to see if there might be something in mid-January that would make sense for them?
This is Zachary Larson here. I have a few groups that I could promulgate this to. If we have a link to a good resource that might entice them, a few people in like the peer-to-peer hacking groups like Secure Scuttlebutt posted around on that social media, which is a really great community for hacking on GIDS particularly, and their technology is actually primed for implementing something like GIDS spec on as well. And then there's a few other people in like the Ethereum groups and other blockchain stuff as well.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I'll put you down as that action item. And I think that also creates an action item. I don't know if we have one yet, Kim or Chris, but we need to put up a page to describe the hackathon, especially that, and then sort of more broadly, it's a DID hackathon. So.
Yeah, well, it's also like, even though it's not, they're not W3 documents yet, the primers, I had somebody say, I'd like to maybe be involved with the hackathon, but had no background. So.
Okay. Anyone else willing to step up to help reach out with regard to the hackathon? Manu, are you the right guy to talk to those Digital Bazaar guys and see if there's something with Ferris One we might do?
Well, we're planning on it. We're planning on being there.
Okay. So.
And we will pull other people in if we can. There's some people that we're talking about that are not quite public yet, so I don't know if they're going to want to reveal themselves as public before the hackathon.
Okay. So we'll follow up with you on that to figure out what we can put maybe in that webpage. Anyone else? Any of the Consensus folks? Is there a way we could reach out to your organization? It's June 15th through 19th, I believe. It's mentioned in the agenda, Drummond.
Yeah, January 15th. It's the The calls are at noon Eastern time each day.
Online. And to answer Nate's question, it's entirely online. What we did last time was, I think it was 9 a.m. Pacific, and we just had a chat, and people checked in about what they were doing, asked for help, and then we had an IRC that was open the whole day for people to join in. Okay, thank you, Kim. We are running over. We will put together a page and mail the link out to the group, and we definitely would love for people to get out and contact organizations that might be willing to participate or able to participate. So we'll put that ask in the email. Thank you all. Thank you for a great year also, and thank you for the feedback. This meeting accomplished more than I thought it would, so that's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairs.
Thanks all. Happy holidays. Bye.
Happy holidays. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.